Blog Talk Radio.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check. Positivity is all we need. Together we will succeed.
Mind. You can go to tqmindbyrod.gr8.com, or you can just inbox me or tweet me at rc44 to find out about all the specials that Tranquil Mind by Rod are doing right now. So once again, Tranquil Mind by Rod, 304 East Diamond Avenue, Gaithersburg, Maryland. And to find out more information, once again, facebook.com/tqmind to schedule your next appointment. And to start with this particular topic tonight, we're talking about hidden secrets on the Rod Stevie Show tonight. First off, I want to talk about how social media is such a strong and powerful entity in our lifestyle and in our society now. The thing is with social media, when it comes down to Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all these different social media sites, LinkedIn, Instagram, it has multiple purposes. One purpose is to try to get your name and get yourself out there. Another one, it creates this, you know how people say alcohol is liquid courage. I think social media gives a sample of what I call cyber courage. And I think this is where a lot of it comes down to right now, when it comes down to how people are using social media for good and people are using social media to destroy and disrupt certain people. And this is where this particular topic tonight comes from. It comes from the fact that people are social media to try to promote themselves, pump themselves up by destroying other people. And with this particular topic tonight, we start off with where the concept of how this viral aspect of Bill Cosby's alleged sexual assaults over the course of 20, 30 years, came back to be in the spotlight. So it comes back to, on September 30th, a comedian, I've seen this guy's face before, maybe it was the comic show on Bounce or Comic View back in the day on BET, maybe that's where I've seen him before, but it's comedian Hannibal Buress, who was in Philly and was doing a joke on date rape, and he mentioned Bill Cosby's name. And of course, you mentioned somebody as iconic as Bill Cosby's name in Philly, everybody's going to, you know, figure out, okay, why are you talking about this particular topic? So he said, all right, if you don't believe me, Google it. Not only his routine went viral because it was posted in a magazine, in phillymag.com, and also posted on YouTube, but also it went viral in the aspect that people were starting to Google, okay, why did he bring this up, especially in Philly? So in a matter of hours, the topic of Bill Cosby and sexual assault became a really big hot-button topic. So then after that, it came down to people want to appear on shows, you know, that the Today Show, Good Morning America, all these particular shows wanted to bring it back up. And you know, this is allegations that happened in the 80s, 90s, early millennium, stuff that he can't even be prosecuted for time because of statute of limitations. And then Barbara Bowman did her post in not only the Washington Post, Philadelphia Daily News, and People, and now People Magazine are going to come into this and try to talk about this particular topic. So it's a minor story. It's a minor comedian, a low-level comedian that was just trying to get his name out there and trying to spark something in Philly, to now everybody's talking about this particular topic. And this has been really just crazy in how everything just picked up at that particular point. So we're going to talk about this topic and take it from two aspects. We're going to talk about it from not only just the aspect of the accuser, who, you know, both women and men have tried to fight to make sure people understand that they were sexually assaulted, that there was date rape. But we're also going to talk about from the accused, about what if it was consensual, what if it was something that both parties agreed on, but, you know, alcohol, drugs, you name it, got in the way in making the right choices and making the right decisions. So this is where this comes from right now. So let's take it from the beginning. Let's take it from the point of the accuser. Now, in this case of, you know, Bill Cosby, and you talk about CeeLo Green, you can talk about Seamus Winston, you can talk about countless others, there's an issue of alleged sexual assault. Now, I want to say alleged sexual assault because in all these cases, you know, Seamus Winston, Bill Cosby, CeeLo Green, none of them were charged, but none of them were convicted of any type of sexual assault or rape, but they were accused. So from the accuser's standpoint, all of them had said the same thing. All of them said that they were drugged, that these quote-unquote celebrities took advantage of them, and when they woke up, they didn't know where they were. They knew they didn't have any clothes on. They felt like there was something done to them, but they did not have the definitive proof to say that anything forcible was done. So let's take that. If you have any insight on this, please give me a call, 347-850-1228. If you're online listening on Blog Talk Radio or blogtalkradio.com, the chat lines are actually open as well. So you can go onto our chat, and if you want to be anonymous, of course, all of our calls can be anonymous. You can go right into chat and talk about this particular topic as well. We're talking about one from the accuser's standpoint. From the accuser's standpoint, the main thing is this. You know, how do you prove that something was done erroneously? How do you prove that something was done that was something you did not want to allow? And here's the biggest challenge. You know, you're at a party, you're at a club, you're at somebody's house. You know, we'll start with the case of the club and the party, because with Seamus Winston and CeeLo Green, this is where it comes from. You know, they're at the club, they're at a party, they meet a female. Female comes to their VIP section, in essence, and then partying, they're drinking, somehow or another gets slipped into their drink. Now, this is where the issue comes from. One, watching your drink. I think that should be something that people should know how to do and should know that is necessary to do when you're at a club, but things happen. You know, you put your drink down when you go out to dance, you're dancing on the floor for a little while, you go back to your seat. Who knows what could happen in that 5 or 10 minute span when you're out on the floor dancing and you put your drink down. Somebody could slip something in your drink in that particular time. A lot of times these celebrities have entourage. They have their wingman. They have the side dude that, you know, that's just sitting back chilling, and they know that they want to get these females back up to the room. So they know that, okay, all these drinks are down right now. Pop a molly here, pop a molly there, pop a molly there. When the females get back from dancing, who knows what's been in their drink? Who knows if it's been tainted? Who knows, you know, if something's been flipped in there? So you go back, okay, you're having your drink, you finish your drink, you start feeling lightheaded, you start feeling loose, you start feeling incoherent. And at that point on, from the rest of that night to the next morning, you have no idea what's going on. And this has been a topic on my show before when it talks about trying to keep an eye on your drink, but still these things keep going on. So now you wake up the next morning, you have no idea what happened. And this is where things are hidden. This is where now the person can say, you know what, oh, you passed out, didn't want you to drive home, you know, I didn't know where your friends are. So I thought it was best that you stay here, you spend the night here, so that way you can sober up. This is what happened in the case of CeeLo, in that case. You know, she was listening, you wake up, and the next morning you try to figure out what's going on, and that celebrity or that person in general says, you know what, I was just, you know, it was, you know, we had a great night, you want to spend the night here, so we spent the night together, and now it's next morning, I'm going to take you home. Or next morning, you know, or I'm just saying, okay, you know, we had a great night, it's time for you to go. So sometimes the accuser feels confused, they feel slighted, they feel like they were used in a way by this guy or by this female, because it does happen to men as well. So the accuser feels like, okay, they've been used, they've been abused, they've been assaulted, they go to the police to file something, and there's nothing, there's not enough to show that there's any type of abuse going on. You know, it's, of course, it's a lot harder to prove with a male. With a female, there's kids that they have to prove that there might have been some sort of assault, some sort of sexual assault, some sort of rape. But when a lot of times when, well, on the female side, when they're drugged, that physically they're not showing any type of resistance that would prove physiologically that there was any rape done. So that's why it's harder for them to prove. That's why in the case of Bill Cosby, 13 different women have come up and said that they were abused by Bill Cosby. There was no physical evidence to prove that it was any type of forcible rape. Now, from a moral standpoint, of course, you know, Bill Cosby's been married for over 50 years. You know, he's been 50 years. He knows that he has the quote-unquote power to take advantage of certain women, especially some of these women were really young women that were trying to get their careers off. But they thought, okay, what better person to get their career going than to be with Bill Cosby? Especially this happened back in the 80s, back in the 70s and 80s, when Bill Cosby was at the top of this game. He had the number one TV show for 10 years on TV. And then on top of that, he was producing the number one TV show that followed after that with A Different World. So you have a lot of young women, young, vulnerable women that want to get into the business, either acting, either in production. Bill Cosby hired more African-American women behind the scenes than any other person in the history of television, and that is fact. You know, most of these, when you look at those who came up in the industry, you know, that went on to produce shows like Girlfriends, went on to produce shows like The Game, that still under the payroll under Shonda Rhimes, a lot of them got their start from Bill Cosby. So people look at that aspect and say how he was really trying to employ young black women in the roles of being production, in the roles of being in high places. But now, when you see these allegations that are going on, that are resurfacing when it comes down to Bill Cosby, it brings up the question, were there a lot of things that were going on behind the scenes that either people don't want to talk about, or that they don't even really want to, that these women don't want to discuss, or they might have even known for sure went down because Bill Cosby could have drugged them. So this is where it comes down to. Now, the NPR, there was an NPR interview the other day that was done with Bill Cosby, and they were trying to have him fully and honestly some of the things that are being put out there again, that resurfaced thanks to social media. He declined to speak on these particular topics. He canceled David Letterman. He canceled Queen Latifah. And he's really, Bill Cosby right now is going into kind of a hiding state. Now, this person has been a person for decades, been an open book about himself, about his ups and downs, his family, and everything. But when it comes down to the most serious allegations that are coming against him, he's been really silent about it. And to a point, you can understand where he's coming from. Now we're going to take it back, we're going to take it to the level of the accused. Does the accused, even though they were never convicted of anything, do they have an obligation to talk about what they were charged, what were they accused of, what they've been insinuated to allegedly have done. And then with the accused perspective, they're probably thinking, why should I? I've never been convicted of anything. You know, in the case of Bill Cosby, this is stuff that was allegations that allegedly occurred 20, 25, 30 years ago. So he feels he shouldn't have to speak on this. But in the case of CeeLo Green, he pled no contest to what he was accused of, and the complete gag order was placed on that particular case because he felt that, you know what, I don't want to go through the whole process of going through different court. I don't want to put my kids through this. I don't want to put my family through this. So I'm just going to plead no contest, you know, do an undisclosed settlement out of court and put a gag order on to say, okay, you got whatever money you're going to get out of me. You know, I pled no contest. Stay from saying I'm not pleading guilty or innocent. I'm just not going to contest it. And we put a gag order on it so that way we're not going to talk about this ever again. So you look at that particular aspect. In this case, CeeLo is saying that, you know what, I just want to put it behind me. In 2005, Bill Cosby did the same thing. He paid this woman that accused him of sexual assault an undisclosed amount, saying, I want to put this behind me, sweep it in essence under the rug, and just put it past me. I'm not saying I'm guilty. I'm not saying I'm innocent. I'm just going to give you your money. Please leave me alone. In the case of, say, James Winston, who is a college kid who is getting all the scrutiny, you know, he actually was cleared of any charges against him. However, the NCAA is still trying to bring something against him, because he's on the number one team in college football. So in all these aspects, the accused are trying to say, I'm trying to put this behind me. I have not been convicted of anything. Why did this keep coming up? Why is this rearing its ugly head every time that I try to do something? And now, in general, it comes down to this fact that people are putting themselves in a situation, especially when you have status, that can warrant anything like this to happen. You know, I'm watching a 30 for 30, ESPN 30 for 30, and if you haven't seen these particular documentaries, they are basically based off of sports, but essentially they're talking about life when it comes down to athletes and it comes down to celebrity status. So this one ESPN 30 for 30 documentary I was watching called Broke, they were talking about how a lot of these athletes and celebrities, they go broke because certain people, women in particular, are preying on them in a sexual manner in order to try to have children by them. There's actually organizations that are created for women know, okay, these are the celebrities, this is where they hang out, and this is how you can get in contact with them so that way you can do what you want to do in order to have their child. So it comes back to, from the accused standpoint, they keep putting themselves in this position where they are targets. So where does a celebrity that is being accused of something to this effect, how do they handle not being closed off from the outside world, but making sure they're protecting themselves in a manner that they're not going to be preyed, they're not going to be targeted? So one thing, you got to, as a person of celebrity status, you got to make sure you limit your entourage, because when you have the entourage, you have a lot of people. When you have 10, 15, 20 people in your entourage, there's always going to be one or two that are going to attract or going to try to bring in the wrong type of person that you want around you in your lifestyle. I'm not sure what entourage Bill Cosby had, but I'm sure he went out, you know, back in the day when he was, you know, in his 30s or 40s, he probably did go out and, you know, try to be social and try to interact with people and try to create this atmosphere that, yes, I am Bill Cosby, I've created this number one network in NBC, and I'm still living that celebrity status lifestyle. I'm sure he went out a lot of times without Camille, and he probably had two or three people around him that probably wanted to attract the wrong type of lifestyle, probably wanted to attract those females. You know, they attract the females to say, okay, hey, Mr. Cosby can mentor you in the industry, can mentor you in this way, that way. So putting your entourage out there like that can trigger something that can bring the wrong person around you. the person could be sincere and saying, I really want your advice, or the person could really be sincere and say, you know, I really know that I can take advantage of this situation one way or another. If things don't go my way, I have access to the press saying that he did this to me. So as a person that's celebrity status, you got to make sure you got a limited entourage. Two, you got to make sure you're keeping an eye on who to trust and who not to trust. And that's where the issue comes into. Some of these people that are in celebrity status, they feel too trusting people around them, not realizing that these people don't have your best interests at heart. They are hawks. And hawks, they scope out their prey and they go and attack. And that's what happens to a lot of celebrities in certain situations where they are going out on the attack. And they find their vulnerable spot, whether it be it trying to keep up with the Joneses. In that sense, a lot of times the celebrities, they want to try to keep up with the Joneses, and they want to try to put on this persona that they are a ladies man. They want to try to put on this persona that they are such a superstar that they have women all around them and they're flashing money. So in a situation like that, their vulnerable spot is that they feel that, okay, you know, you want to put on this persona that you are who you are, who you do, you think you are, and so I'm going to take advantage of that. So I'm going to go to your room, I'm going to hang out with you all day, all night, and just try to make sure that you are living the life that you want to claim you're living. But in essence, all I'm doing, I'm going to make sure that I am in the public spotlight with you, so that way if something goes down, people said, oh yeah, I saw her with him. And they say, okay, you sexually assaulted me, you raped me. Even though it could have been consensual, put out there that you are in this lifestyle, you are in this particular status. So it is something that when you get to a certain state of status, be it in business, be it in entertainment, be it in sports, that you have to make sure you have an idea of who to trust. And then the third thing, as a celebrity or as an entertainer, as a businessman, just know when to say no. Just shut it down from the jump. If you shut it down, then you won't have to worry about this in the first place. You know, just say no. Okay, the party's over. You're leaving out. They want to go to your hotel room. Say no, I'm sorry. No, I'm going home. I'm going to my hotel room. I'm going to wherever I'm staying, and I'm going to keep it private tonight. So if you do that, you shut it down, you say no, then that will eliminate 90 to 95% of the problems that you have from the jump. And that's where a lot of these people in this status come, you know, cause their problem. They don't know when to say no. They don't know how to shut everything down and say, you know what, I'm going to be the rude guy today. I'm going to be the jerk today. I'm just going to say no. You're not coming back to my room. No, we're not going to the after party. No, I'm just going to go to my spot and chill. Politicians, entertainers, celebrities, business people, day in and day out, this is what happens when they do this, and this is what happens when they get accused of certain things. Everybody's been drinking. Some people have been taking drugs, and now they want to go back to your room for the after party, and who knows what can happen in the after party. They might take more drugs. They might drink more. They might pass out on your couch, and who knows what they were doing at that point, because you've been drinking yourself. You might have been taking some drugs yourself. So therefore, everybody wakes up the next morning with no conscious idea, no conscious concept of what happened the night before. Only thing you know, you're at a party, and now you got three or four or five people in your room, in your suite, in your house that you don't know, and they're waking up. They're probably waking up half naked. If I'm waking up fully naked, they're probably waking up in a deluded state that they have no idea what happened. So that's where rumors start, because now the rumors are going to come out saying, hey, you know, I was at so-and-so's house. This is what we did. This is who I was with. This is who I was hanging out with, and all this starts. And then you got Instagram, you got Twitter, you got social media that wasn't out 20, 25, 30 years ago, and that makes it even more difficult, because now they're waking up and they're taking pictures in your house saying, look, I'm at so-and-so's house right now. I'm in so-and-so's bedroom. I'm wearing so-and-so's shirt. You know, and now it instantly gets out to millions of people at a time that you don't even know. So that's where, bringing it back to the beginning, social media has a means of creating the attack on these celebrities that the accused don't even know about, because now people can take a fly picture at your house, in your room, and you have no idea who this person is, who it's been sent to, and who those people that they sent it to are going to send it out to. Now TMZ gets a hold of it, and now TMZ pushing one spotlight on Vlad. 3, 4, 5 million people are clicking on TMZ.com or watching on TV, saying, "Hey, what in the world did this person do?" And then and it gets out so immediate that the publicist, your representative, your agent, your manager, your attorney cannot stop the windfall of what's happening. So to their standpoint, social media can be a good thing because it gets the word out there, gets the word out saying that, hey, this I was a victim, this is what's happened to me, this is who did it, and I'm going to make sure that everybody knows about this immediately so that way my case can be heard. From the accused standpoint, it says, okay, now this person, I could have innocently just had a party and people passed out on my floor, and now somebody wants to prey on me and be and attack me to say this is who I was, this is who I was with, you know, and now this is getting out instantly. So from the accuser's standpoint and from the accused standpoint, the main purpose of trying to avoid certain things like this to happen is to try to watch who you're around, watch the people that you think you trust, and make sure that you are limiting or reducing any opportunity to be in that certain situation. Not to be a social wallflower and just avoid contact with the outside world, but make sure that you are protecting yourself at all times. Protect your drinks, protect your, know what time to get out of a situation, know when to get out of a situation, know when to say no, know when to make sure that no is reinforced. And that goes from both aspects, the person who is just trying to party and have a good time, or a person who's trying to, to try to gather themselves, or trying to build themselves, promote themselves in a business, promote themselves in entertainment, promote themselves in sports, and those who are at that quote-unquote elite status, who's on the top of their game in entertainment, top of their game in sports, top of their game in business and politics, to know when to say no and make sure that you are preventing any incidents like this happen, because you think it might be swept under the rug. You think, okay, I just paid this person off and it's going to go away. It's not going to go away. It's going to creep up. It's going to come back on you. Think about this. Bill Cosby's been in the industry for 50 years. He's 77 years old, and now this is attacking him in the stage of his career where he should just be able to chill and relax, be with his wife, be with his family, and if he wants to do any type of business or entertainment entity, it should be no problem. CeeLo Green at the top of his game on the number one TV show, and he shouldn't have to deal with things creeping up and rearing his ugly head each and every time because he's played no contest. But it will because he was in that situation. Seamus Winston, different situation. He's a 19-year-old kid, probably 20 years old now, at the top of his game, number one team in college sports, trying to build a career for himself. He doesn't even have a career yet. He doesn't even have a job. But all this is just going to fester, and it's going to grow and grow and grow until he signs that contract. As soon as he signs that first NFL contract, everything that's been talked about in the past 2 years is going to resurface to the point where it's going to destroy him before he even gets his first paycheck. So avoid the situations. Avoid trying to put on this status. And if you do that, then hopefully, prayerfully, these things won't haunt you for the rest of your life. And this is the Rod Stevie Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. And as always, thank you for listening each and every week. 30 minutes taking the time out to making this a part of your week. And I want to just mention tomorrow we have Love Talk. Love Talk, we're going to continue with identity. We talked about off the top last week. We're talking about from the bottom this week. We're talking about this infatuation of the backside, in essence, and on many different levels, and how it creates stereotypes. It creates a persona that some women do not want. And it just so happens that when I chose a particular topic, the whole internet has been talking about, once again, social media, been talking about Kim Kardashian and the picture that she took. So it allegedly broke the internet. So it just happened to be that this topic was going to be my discussion, talking about identity, and we're going to touch on a lot of those different topics in regards to this as well. So listen to that for Love Talk. Listen out to the Rod Stevie Show next week. And until next time, this is Mr. Rod Stevie.
Intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check.
Positivity is all we need. Together we will.